Ready to start the show.
All right, here we go. Am I recording? Make sure I'm recording. There we go. Fire away.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show! All right,
that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Don't be hating on my household attire, okay? I don't go to Walmart like this.
Damn!
Showtime! You were making egg bouillon in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the strolling, go direct to DLFGS.org. And I see channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the gala's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 909 of the Linux Sling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Oh, is it Friday yet?
Almost. We have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Here I am.
It's I have a question. Actually, looking to solicit some advice on whether this path is proper. What last week? I noticed that my certs expired again, and so I went to renew them, and CertBot told me, because, you know, you do Let's Encrypt, it's so easy, CertBot told me that my version of Debian is no longer supported, which kind of makes sense. It's time to upgrade that on my... I have two Raspberry Pis running it, and so... With the services that I have running, I don't want to jeopardize the services so much. Like, I'm worried that if I do an upgrade, something's going to break, and then I got to fiddle around and do this. So this was my thought of what I was going to do for an upgrade. I was going to power down the devices, take the SD card out, DD it to an image, and then... take that image and DD it to another SD card, and then make sure that that SD card boots up just as well as the other one. And then I was going to upgrade one of those, do the upgrade on one of those SD cards and see if it works and goes off smoothly. That way, if something drastic happens and nothing's working, I could just pop out the old SD card and put the old one back in, and I'll be back to where I was. What do you think of that?
Makes sense to me, but instead of DDing it, I mean, it's a micro SD card. Why not just get another micro SD card?
No, I do have another SD card. I have it coming. I thought it was supposed to be here on Tuesday, but it got delayed. I was going to DD the image off of that, the current one, and then DD that to another SD card. So I have the image backed up and I have it on another SD card and make sure that that SD card works. That way, when I go to upgrade, if it doesn't work out,
I see what you're saying.
I can just slide in that other SD card and I'm back to where I was before the upgrade.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I'm thinking that should hopefully go smoothly.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I'm worried about, maybe. Because I don't want to go through, like, all the trouble of PostFix and IMAPD and all that other stuff if I don't have to. Because it's all configured, and I like it just the way it is. But I gotta dig into Let's Encrypt and that CertBot and everything. There's got to be some switches in there, because it's like giving me a certificate for 3 months, and then I got to renew it again. It's like, come on, give me at least
seriously?
A year. Yeah. Because I was like, just like last week, I'm like, why is it telling me my certificate's invalid? I just renewed them like in March, I thought it was, or maybe it was February or something. And I looked, and it was like, yeah, that cert's not that old. And when it created the new cert, I looked on it, and that's supposed to expire like, I think sometime in July. like the end of July, and I'm like, oh, there's got to be a Switch, but I need to get
at least a year. I mean, that's getting multi-year is going to start to be hard to get, but doing a year should be a doable, I would think.
Yeah, I think so too. Although I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth, because all I got to do is just run that script. It updates everything, right, and I'm good to go. So, man, it's kind of like, I remember when you had to do that. You had to do it all by yourself and self-sign the certificate. And then every time somebody would go to your site or whatever, they'd be like, well, this certificate is not signed by a valid certificate authority, right, and everything. And now with like Let's Encrypt, you know, it's free. It's wonderful. I love it. Before, you had to pay like gobs of money to get it encrypted. So, you know, thank you, Let's Encrypt. That's good.
Now, we don't use Let's Encrypt at work, but we're trying to automate as much as that as possible with GitOps, and it's going to be difficult.
Now, we use Let's Encrypt for some of our certs at work, and it's just, it saves a ton of money.
True.
But
they pay us for that, so you know, I'm trying to remember who we use now. I don't remember. I'd have to go look at one of our certs.
Hey, are you doing single sign-on, Saml?
Yeah.
So how familiar are you with that?
I know how to configure our apps. I don't set up WSO2.
So the way that I've had to do Saml in the past is, I try to get it configured in the applications and stuff that we're working, and then all the stuff, because we use Okta, all the Okta side of things is a black box to me, and I have to go through our security. And so...
Oh, so you use Okta, not like a WSO2 or anything like that?
No, they use Okta. They're in cahoots with Okta.
Of course.
So the first time I went through doing this with our application, used a module called Passport for Node, and it was kind of odd because it asked for, so aside from the SAML, the Okta configuration, there was another two optional things for logging in that you could set a cert, have a cert that you send to Okta, and then the key for that cert, any request that gets that, if the key is configured, it signs that request to Okta. Okta verifies it on their end. And then there's another optional thing where you could do the reverse and get a cert from Okta, and they send us, they use a key to sign it, and you can verify it on your end. And one, and it always didn't make sense to me, because they called the key that you, the cert that you had to give to them, the key and the passport, and then the, it was just all backwards, and it was really confusing. But another bit of the terminology that really threw me was, you have service provider and identity provider, right? And I could never understand why, like, when you say to me service provider, I'm thinking of what's providing the service, like Okta. So I'm like, why are we like getting their certificate, or are we giving them a certificate? Like, so, but
we have to have a signing certificate on one side of it, and then yeah.
And so when it came time to set up this WordPress plugin for, and the documentation for this WordPress plugin, that VIP told us to use, VIP support, one login WordPress plugin for single sign-on, which is really geared towards one login service, but that's the one that they recommended to use, not the one that Okta makes, which is like, whatever. I'm like, why don't we just use the Okta one? Who gives a damn what they say? But they're like, no, they have all the experience. This is what they're recommending. And there is no... like, you go to the plugin site, and it just takes you to the GitHub page, and there's absolutely no documentation
on how to set this damn thing up. They're like, well, if you want to see how to set it up, look at our instructions in our forum. And you click on the link, and it takes you to the search page on their forum. And then you got to, like, figure out what it is, like, the words that you need to put in there. So WordPress plugin, you know, configuration. And it comes up with a page that is a configuration, but it's only for one site, one login. It's like translating that to Okta wasn't too difficult, but it was, like, it was still confusing. And so they have what's called service provider SP and identity provider. And for the longest time, up until I finally found this and looked it up, service provider is the application that's providing the service to the user that wants to authenticate through Okta, who's the identity provider. So service provider in this case is the application that we're using, not the service that we're interacting with. And I don't like that terminology. It just bothers me. I get identity provider would be Okta, but service provider also sounds like Okta.
What? Well, depending on how you do it, like for in our example, we use WSO2, which is open source, and it basically is the intermediary between the application and whatever provider they're using, be it ADFS or I guess Office 365. We also have a couple clients that use Simple. See, our problem is not everyone's using the same backend provider. Some are using ADFS. Some of them are using Office 365. So basically what happens is when you have our application configured, it's going to go over and bring up a login page that's provided by WSO2. And then WSO2 is going to do the negotiation between WSO2 and the provider to get the, is this person okay to log in? And then they'll say yes, and then it passes the token back to the application and then logs them in. Now, I have a situation now where we have a database login as well as a application login that are configured in the application. The both passwords have been confirmed correct, but it's not working.
So are you using WSO2 for identity management?
Identity management, yes.
Is that the only thing you use it for?
Yeah.
Now, that's a company, right?
WSO2 is a software. It's open source.
Oh, so you're – okay, because I'm on the WSO2.com site. And I was just looking, it looked like they provide a service, but so what do you run?
Pack.
The what?
Solution identity.
So you run a WS, you run the server on your network.
On AWS.
Right? On AWS.
It's on AWS, yeah.
And that handles the login to whatever backend that they have, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. Whatever backend the client has, supported. It could be straight up Open LDAP. It could be ADFS, or it can even be just straight up Active Directory. It doesn't matter.
So when you do the WSO2.
And you I don't do the installation through, of it either. Of
you log in through that, and then it provides the mapping back to whatever rights that they have to the application that
in a roundabout way, yes. Yeah. Yeah, and most of ours, like in almost every case, security within the application is handled by the application itself. For example, our UI assigning what they call Envision is our proprietary language, but Envision security classes are assigned to a user. So the application handles what they see within the actual UI application. Same thing with WebAdvisor, which is our outgoing self-service product. Now, the newer product, our self-service product, that actually uses assigned roles within the application. But in all cases, the only thing WSO2/ADFS does is say, yes, this person is a valid login. Yes, their password was correct. And then it hands off to the application. The token, that is.
One thing I did learn, another thing I did learn through all this, and I didn't realize that this existed, is you can get a plugin for your browser. It's a SAML tracer, which will allow you to decode the SAML messages when they get to and from your that you're sending and you're receiving, which is very handy. I never used it, but it was very when I watched somebody using it, it gave you some nice information there.
Yep.
I gotta add that. Add that plugin. What
I think I have it in a couple of my browsers. I don't remember which ones though. I haven't been working since last Wednesday, so. So we moved all of our crap Friday into storage, and I wrapped up all the little, you know, especially when you, now if you weren't moving in town, like if you've moved in town, you know what I mean, in that you load up all the heavy stuff on the truck and you always have stuff that's just left over, you know what I mean? So that's what I did Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, that and cleaning it up, because we didn't have to be out till Monday. So, like, and here's the fun thing. Monday, the rental office was closed. So they, like, Tuesday or Wednesday last week, they sent us the email that says, the move-out procedure has changed in that, basically, once you're out, just take your keys, put them on the table, and email us that you're out. And basically walk out the door and leave the door unlocked. My wife's like, I'm not going to do that. And I said, why does it matter that if somebody comes in and screws it up, you know, it's not on us anymore. But
so the rest of it worked out then?
I think so. I don't know if we'll get our, you know.
Well, unless they haven't inspected it yet, then it is still on you.
Yeah, well, you know, this depends on, you. I don't know how dickish they're going to be on the getting the deposit back, but we're out. I actually still have crap in the back of my car I need to get over.
Expect them to be super dickish about it, but if they take too long, then you just make a claim and they have to pay you the full amount back.
Yeah, well, I'm not too worried about it. It's cleaner than I thought it would be. Because they were like, you know, they're like, they want you to pull out all the appliances. I'm like, we've been there 8 months. It's not that dirty under there. I did the stove and I did the fridge. I'm actually glad I did pull the stove out because I found out we had a cookie sheet underneath it that must have fell out of the drawer. But so I got that. And then they were like, they wanted you to do that to the washer and dryer. And I'm like, yeah, no. They're both jammed into a closet. Right, and the closet has these accordion doors. There's no real room for me. I mean, I'm not taking those closet doors off the hinges. You know, and I don't care if you guys would just put them back on after I'm done, but, you know, whatever. It's a laundry room. Who cares? Who's going to pull those out? Rent office might, but that's about it. You know, I don't know. I don't care at this point anymore. That place sucked.
How's the new place?
Well, the hotel's fine. Here's an interesting thing, too. Like, I was talking to Dan Fry about this via email. I was trying to figure out, well, for my work, and actually for both of our work, I like to make sure that our laptops are wired just because it's usually more predictable connection-wise and stuff like that. You know, less of people's iPads eating up all the Wi-Fi bandwidth, causing you issues. So, I have my old Switch, my old Asus RTA 6, A68 or whatever it is. It's my old Asus switch. I just basically blanked it out and reconfigured it before I left. And then when I got here, pulled it out. There is an Ethernet jack in the room. Now, I'm on the hotel Wi-Fi where I'm sitting right now outside because I can't reach to my room's Wi-Fi. But when I hooked it up in the hotel room and I had it connected to the Ethernet, and then either connect to my Wi-Fi network from that switch or direct to the Ethernet, and basically it avoids having to put the information in to the little portal that, you know how you go to some hotels and it says, it opens up a web page and says, sign into the Wi-Fi, you know. If I hook up to either my Wi-Fi or the Ethernet off that switch, I don't have to do that. Which means I can probably hook up the Roku in that bedroom. So, which I think I'm thinking of doing, because that way my son could watch the Weather Channel, and the Roku that we have normally would be in our bedroom. It's a Roku 4, whatever the latest is. But the remote has a headphone jack. You plug in a pair of headphones into that, and the sound on the TV blocks out, and it goes through the remote. So that means when I'm working, he can watch TV if he wants to, and I can't hear it, and nobody else in the room can hear it.
That's convenient.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I have had no problems with what I did some test VPN connections. That's kind of one of the reasons why I took yesterday and today off, just so that I can make sure that all was going to be fine. So, and I somewhat, well, I kind of wish I had a more portable monitor just for this. But I brought my 27-inch monitor with me. So we both got external monitors on our laptops, and we're going to be kind of almost facing each other. Thankfully, the monitors will that space so that we're not staring at each other all day. But it generally works pretty good. The speed actually at the hotel is better than what I was paying AT&T for. I did talk to Spectrum today, and they're basically because trying to figure out, you know, costs and what kind of I got the list of cable modems to purchase, because I am going to purchase a cable modem, but I went to, they have one of those stores here, and I walked in there and talked to him for a little bit just to see, because one of the things I wanted to ask him is, can I purchase the cable modem there? And no, I had to go to Best Buy or someplace like that to catch one. Okay, no problem. I'll do that. So, but the next thing is and I know some of this because when we built back in 98, I had to have them run cable into the house back then. So basically what they initially would do is they run coax from the point in a bit near the back of the property and connect into the back of the house. And then like 2-3 days later, they'll come back by with a ditch witch and bury the cable for you. All right. Which I'm not sure if they'll have to do that or not, but, apparently I also called them too later in the day today. And, to find out, well, you know, what's the pricing going to be like? I think it's going to be around $90 is what I'm guessing. But they have to come do a survey, and they don't want to do that until I'm closer to closing. So that's fine. So we should hopefully – I'm thinking within the next week we'll probably have a close date soon. So because cabinet is, for the most part, almost complete. I went over today, and they were putting in the cabinets in our bathroom, the owner's bathroom. And at that point, the only cabinets they would have to put in is for the island. But there's a pantry cabinet that we have on the one side of the kitchen, and I noticed a little gouge in it. So hopefully they'll be able to fix that. I don't even care if they just fix the one they have, you know, fill it in and then make it look like it didn't have a crack in it. They've done that stuff before, so I don't expect that would hold anything up. But they have all the forms set for the sidewalks and are all the walks in the driveway.
Was that you? Was that you? Hello? Did we lose everybody?
I'm here.
Like, all I heard was this loud beep.
Yeah, like a beep noise. A high-pitched squeal.
And then I didn't hear Joel anymore.
Man, that's weird. Check the audio. Somebody's audio. I took a shit.
Yeah. I guess that was him. Hopefully that was him. I thought it was me at first. I'm like, what's going on? Boy. Oh, well. You still there, Joel? Guess not. So much for that pavilion, huh?
Yeah, I think I bumped the dongle on my head for my headset. I think that's what happened.
Because it got really, like, there was a loud whirr, and then that was it.
Yep, that's probably what I probably bumped that USB thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the joys of technology. I'm actually using my review unit that I need to write the review for, which is an Intel base laptop, Core i5, 11th generation from Lenovo, the IdeaPad Flex 5 14-inch.
What's it running?
Windows right now.
Shame.
I don't get to keep it, so I didn't. I will run Linux. I have booted Linux on it, but since I'm not getting, I have to send it back. Then I'm not gonna rip the OS out and put Windows on it.
Well, do you have to send it back fully intact or whatever, like the way it was? You could install whatever you wanted on there and then just wipe it and send it back, couldn't you?
Well, if I had the Windows 10 installed, this I could probably do that. So, it doesn't matter. I'm not review. In my review, I will mention, hey, Ubuntu boots up fine, finds everything fine. The only thing it didn't work on it.
Okay,
in
now
Linux,
you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you now.
My question was, well, I had two questions. One, what processor does it have? Because the Flex line has a bunch of different ones. And,
Core i5.
Two, couldn't you just swap out the hard drive?
I'm not taking it apart, dude. I mean, that's a thought, but...
Okay, then, well, there's always USB.
Yes, I booted it off of USB and it worked fine. So, I was getting ready to say, the only thing that doesn't work was... Lenovo, and I had to figure out if this was actually, like, if you bought this today, if it was included in the box, or if they just threw it in for the review unit, because sometimes they do stuff like that. But they included the Lenovo stylus, and that's the only thing that I could not get to work in Linux. Works fine on Windows, of course.
I have had the same exact problem.
Yep. It might be specific to... I have to try booting my Surface off of that to see if that's the case, too. Because what I may end up doing is... I may buy, an M1 MacBook and use that for my video edit. Either an M1 MacBook or an iMac and use that for that. And then maybe put Linux on the Surface and get rid of a couple laptops. I don't know. I'm still trying to decide on that.
Yeah, that's one of the problems I have. I mean, getting rid of them.
Right. Yeah, I know. My wife's like I have, counting this one, I have my work laptop, my Surface, this one, and I have my yoga book with me as well, which I don't use the yoga book that much It's kind of like my backup Windows machine right now. So I have one. So that would be 1, 2, 3 laptops. She's like, "What do you need all them for?" Well, I'm like, "Well, first off, the one's a review unit, but the other, she doesn't understand why I need different machines for different things." So, because that's
those are rookie numbers. You really need to pump right. up those numbers.
I know.
I have more than that within like 5 feet of me, and I'm in my garage.
And another thought, though, is I could get a Raspberry Pi 4 8GB. And set that up for my mumble machine. Because that should work fine. Get a monitor, keyboard. Or actually, you know, actually I wonder if I could do that off of the Raspberry Pi 400. Just to kind of make things smaller. I don't see why you couldn't. Yeah. I mean, I have run mumble on the Raspberry Pi 4. My only thing is, my Raspberry Pi 4 is in storage. Second is I have it in that in the LCD case. So the one thing I would love if somebody would bring out a case would not only let you use that LCD, but also be able to plug in an HDMI as well. I don't think I could do that. I might be able to do that. I haven't played around with it yet with that regard. And I think the case may block the cable from going in and out. So I don't know. But it'd be just as easy just to buy another one in an Arctic One case. Not Arctic One, Argon One. Sorry, Argon One.
Where the hell are my drill bits?
I don't know. Oh,
Well, damn it, Joel, find them.
I don't know, man. I did get my car back, and they never found the leak of the air conditioner, but I did get front brakes on it, and they supposedly fixed the USB jack in it, but like days later, it's not working again. I really don't care if it works or not anymore.
Did they charge you to fix it?
It was $100 deductible under warranty, which is not too bad.
So they didn't fix it, though.
Well, they did fix it initially. So one thing that's making me wonder, I am going to take it back. They already charged me the deductible, so in my book, they should fix it for free. But
well, I mean, if they fixed it and it doesn't work, yeah, they shouldn't be charged.
Right? I'm almost afraid of taking it back, though, because I don't want to be without it for a whole week.
Why does it take a week to fix a USB port?
Well, it didn't. They're very short-handed staff-wise. They're one of... Well, the other thing, too, that I noticed, too, that's been weird. I think this is hitting a lot of different places in the service industry, including auto. But like when I went to go grab a coffee at Starbucks, and usually what I'll do is I'll pull up into the drive-thru line, pull out the phone, and pre-order the coffee. And then when I get up to the window, I just say, "Hey, mobile order for Joel," and they're like, "Okay, we got you. Pull around." But the last week or so, I've gone into the app trying to do that, and not one Starbucks actually has that active anymore. In my area, anyway. So, and then there's some restaurants like the Chick-fil-A. Even though they could open their dining room, they still haven't yet. They may not ever again. And I think that's what we're going to run into with a lot of restaurants nowadays. Because it takes less staff to run a drive-thru than it does to run a full restaurant.
You know what the new hot thing is?
And I love how all the Walmarts have suddenly decided this is the perfect excuse to get rid of the very few number of cashiers that they had in the first place.
Right? Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know what the next, you know what the new big thing is in restaurants? Especially like fast food and
cook your own
casual
food?
Fast food. No, it's ghost kitchens.
Yeah.
Where you might order something from like a, this probably not the best example, but you might order a burger and it comes from Taco Bell, not Burger King. Well, is Burger King
actually, I got
Bell?
A better example,
but
I got a better example. Look in any of your apps and look for Pasquale's Pizza.
Yeah, that's Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep.
Yeah, but they're like a, you go to a there's some Taco Bells that they have too that you could go there at the Taco Bell and it's just whatever fast food you want because it's just a ghost. It's a, the upper kitchen is just a bunch of it's just all drive-through and delivery. Yep. is what they're counting on for that. Yeah, ghost kitchens are getting to be really big. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. You can get your drive-through Starbucks.
But
mobile order.
Even though I'm at a extended stay, I grilled me some burgers yesterday.
Outside or inside?
Outside.
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea to grill inside unless you're using a Foreman grill.
Well, I could have took my Griddler, but I decided I didn't want to because the kitchen's teeny tiny. It's like two burners, a microwave, a dishwasher, and a refrigerator.
Well, so what'd you
and
grill on?
A little bit of storage. There's a grill outside. Oh, actually, it's practically
grill?
Right next to me. Yep.
It's got somebody's blood on it?
I don't know. It's actually hooked up to a natural gas line.
Okay.
And you just go up to the front desk and say it's actually a Weber, but you ask them for the key and they'll bring the key and the grill tools out to you. You go out and grill your food and I know yes, if I wasn't a dimwit and didn't bring any paper plates, my wife went and picked up more paper plates. If I had paper plates, I probably would have just took everything out here and just ate out here. Even though it's a little chilly, but it's right now it is 63 degrees outside.
That's not too bad.
So no, it's not horrible. I'm wearing shorts too. Oh, and it's raining.
Yeah, it's only 70 here.
I'm under a gazebo, so it's actually kind of nice, except for the ashtray sitting next to me. because I think this is where, because all the hotel is non-smoking, so I think they'll either sit out here under the gazebo to grab a smoke, or there's some chairs over by the door where they'll sit and smoke. There's a couple guys sitting there smoking a little bit ago. No pool here, but they're letting us use our address to sign up for. Grove City has something called the Big Splash, and basically it's like a community water park. So it's got a big pool and slides and stuff like that. It's like $50 for a year, so they're letting us use our new address, and I don't even mean the hotel address. I mean our actual new address, since we'll be in it most of the summer, to sign up for it, even though it's not completed yet. So
wait, which summer?
This summer.
You sure?
I'm sure. It better be. if it ain't, man, they're gonna. Our builder's probably gonna lose close to million. I think millions of dollars probably nationwide because there are so many builds that they're so far behind on. But yeah, they're it's not that far off, so. Oh, I got some electrical fixtures that they put in too. They're not all, electric's on in the building, but they only turn on every once in a while for testing. But and they put my air conditioner in too. A Z-Wave thermostat is also installed already. So it's not too bad. I mean, it's you know, we'll make it. The only thing I can't do is I can't bake anything in the oven. The best I can do is they have this lending locker where I can, like, grab a, like, a toaster oven to cook stuff with, to borrow it and cook things like that with. But you can't cook, like, a full pizza in a toaster oven. Doesn't really work all that well.
Depends on how you fold it.
That's all they give you is a toaster oven?
That's all you can borrow, yeah. Well, now they have toaster ovens. They have, like, waffle makers that I can borrow. They have, a handful of board games, like, you know, Monopoly and stuff like that. Not that I need that shit. And we went putt-putting yesterday. This is walking distance right from the hotel.
Monopoly putt-putt.
No. That would be fun, though, when you think about it. Wonder if anybody did a putt-putt course based on Monopoly. I bet you they did. But it's different. Like, I'm trying to remember, like, if Residence Inn has a bigger kitchen. This kitchen is, like, it's tiny. It's, like, everything's... It's basically two rooms is what I got here. But the good thing is, Dan, I don't have to pay for laundry. Laundry's free here.
They give you the soap and everything?
No, I got to bring my own soap. I don't care about that, though. There's a lot of things I don't care. Like, they have towels in the room, and they only give you, like, maid service, like, once a week for an extended stay, like we are. So, like, every week they'll come in and they'll do that. But anytime you need towels, you just take all the soiled ones down and they'll give you new ones. We brought some towels, so we're probably just going to use their towels, like, once or twice a week, and then switch to our own towels and wash them again. You know, because I see a big hole, and the thing is extended stays are more for business travel now than when they were initially started. It was for things like what we're doing more often, I think, but it's really more for business travel, to be honest. But we'll get through it. You know, it's my only fear is that I'll get a close date in the next 2 weeks, and I'll be like, oh no, I got to do all this crap again. It won't be too bad though going to the house, because we can at least extend it. You know, I can get all the heavy shit moved. And then just slowly bring over all the boxes until we clean those two storage areas. And I don't have to clean anything afterwards either, other than my own house.
That'll be nice to finally be in there.
Yes, it will. It's a whole lot bigger, too. I'm impressed. Like, I remember what our air conditioner looked like at our old house. The new house, the air conditioner unit outside is massive compared to the old one. It is a bigger house. I think every room is bigger.
How big's your office again?
The new office will be 19 by 10 feet.
Is your wife going to have her own room, too?
She is, actually, because we have a 3-bedroom. See, we chose...
Wait a second.
Yeah.
So your office is a separate room then, right?
Yes, it's the bonus room over the garage.
Okay, so then you have the bonus room. Your son has...
A room.
A room. You and your wife have a room, and then...
Right.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to figure out where your room, like where you were getting that extra room.
No, it's the bonus room upstairs. It, technically, that room also doesn't have a door.
Right.
So, which is a little annoying. Although I'm debating, I may call my handyman and say, "Hey, could you put a door in down here?" No, I don't know if I'll do that. I probably won't do that, but
I hear wood's like really expensive now.
Yeah,
that might cost you an arm and a leg.
It's true. Well, and then the other thing too is if I did something like that, I would want to try and find out where my builder got the door so that I can buy one to match. You know. Because the doors they're not like the doors in our old house were all kind of flat. You know, they look like wood.
Right.
The new ones are all white. And ours have like a pattern in them of sort, you know, like I'm trying to think of what you would call it. It's not like filigree or anything like anything fancy like that. It's just a normal kind of a looking door, but it's got these grooves in it, and so it's not just any kind of a door. So I just have to find one that matches. If I wanted to do that, but I'll be okay with it because it's separate. It's far enough away and upstairs, and the odds of my son or my wife wanting to climb upstairs to yammer at me is probably going to be low. The only downside is I'll have to go downstairs to go to the bathroom because there's no bathroom up there.
Just pee on the floor.
No. Pee on get the floor. A pee bottle.
That's it.
Get a pee bottle. Yeah, because I'll have like the little microwave we bought for the apartment will probably be up in my office. And I'll have my little fridge up there, too.
You're going to pee in the microwave?
No. I won't cook in the microwave.
Where's put your air fryer frozen going?
I don't know. I actually been semi thinking about getting a different air fryer because mine's kind of getting beat to hell because I use it all the time. And I definitely want to get a sous vide.
7-in-1s or something. Air fryer, oven, rotisserie, whatever.
Well, it makes me wonder too if, because we're getting a microwave over the stove. Our old microwave at the house, the one we bought, one we picked out, 100% picked out, had a convection feature built into it, which is essentially an air fryer. So if our microwave had that, I don't know if I'll buy another air fryer, then I'll probably just use that. It'll work. It's exactly the same. But we'll see. I also saw some, I was at Sam's Club today to buy some earbuds, and I'll talk about those too. But I noticed on one end cap, they had a Instant Pod. It's a coffee machine made by the folks at Instant Pot, but it'll do both Keurig and Nespresso pods. So I can replace two machines with one. And I'm thinking about buying that just because it'll save some counter space.
Wait, what? Wasn't that the machine you got at the auction or whatever?
That you got the Keurigs. Yeah, I bought 3 Keurigs at the that auction a couple years ago, but big one that I had, that thing lasted 2-3 years and then died. So, but the new earbuds I bought, LG Tones, the Tone Freeze. Joe probably won't like them.
Do you know what the model number is?
I do, actually. Let me look in the list.
Are they the wireless with the neckband?
No neckband. They are the HBS FN4s. So basically, very similar in design to an AirPod, but with the rubber cups instead of the regular. It's more like, it's more like, yeah, they're more like the AirPods, but the Pro models. The app is really cool that you use with it. I can just fire up the app.
And
you can also, if they're on and connected, and like say one dropped out of your ear and you need to find it, you can actually have it ring a sound through the earbud so they can hear it. So, and it's got a battery case. I think like 5 minutes, they'll give you 60 minutes of listening time on it. The earbuds, when they're fully charged, will do 6 hours, and combined with the battery in the carrying case, it gives you a total of 15 hours. And charges via USB-C. And I like them better than the... I also tried a pair of Skullcandy Evo Steshes. I actually have to send those back to Skullcandy because the right earbud won't charge. And I doubt you'd be able to repair these LG Tone Frees.
They're difficult to work on. Any of the true wireless ones, insanely difficult to work on.
Yeah, they're really tiny.
And yeah, sometimes battery replacements aren't that difficult.
Insanely tiny, actually.
But it's hardly ever worth it, because it's even then replacing the battery, it's a 50-50 chance that that'll actually fix the problem.
Truth. I decided to kind of go with this kind of a style because my old LG Tones with the band on it, one of the earbuds went out in it, and they were starting to fall apart anyway. I still have them, but I may send them to you, Joe, if you really want to repair them.
Which ones are they?
I'd have to look. I think they're the SL5.
Who am I joking? I don't care which ones they are. Send them to me. I'll see if I can fix them.
It's just because of the wire that is in the retract. Yeah, HBS SL5. That's it. But I think the wire is so thin, it just finally... I mean, I can't complain. They lasted 3 or 4 years. I mean, at least 3 or 4 years, if not longer.
Yeah, the wires in the retractables are, like, super-duper thin. And if you get them to last more than a couple of years, they start fraying and basically rotting.
Yep, and I think that's what was happening. Because one of the buds went out, and I'm like, damn it! So you're I was getting in the groove trying to clean while I was listening to podcasts, and I don't know why, but sometimes I can listen to a podcast with just one bud, but not usually. And I have these linear flux ones that I use with my iPad, and I could technically switch those over and use them with my Android, but I don't like doing that. I like my feeling with Bluetooth headphones is they work better when you have one set of headphones per device. So if you have like a tablet and a phone, have a pair of headphones for your tablet and a pair for your phone, then you don't have to mess with pairing them up every time. And
well, if you have 20 pairs for like each of them, that really works too.
There's that too. But see, then if I think there are some that will let you pair not at the same time, but they'll have let you pair it with two different devices.
Yeah, and then one can be your audio, and then the other right. one your phone. Yeah, it, right. a lot of them do.
Yeah, some of them do that, but then my experience has been that if, say, you're listening to something on your phone, but you want to fire up your iPad to use it to look, or tablet, iPad or tablet, doesn't matter, to look at something, they generally will fight with each other. At least that's been my experience. So, you know, it'll might, like, say if you tapped on something on the tablet that played audio, it would cut out your audio from your phone, and, it's, you know, it's better if they're separate. Because then you can turn the ones for the tablet off. But these also have, and I think the Tone, the SL5s also have this too, where it'll kind of let you hear the ambient sound too. So you don't completely block everybody out.
Yeah, where they it pass work through very well, ambient though. Noise, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, my experience is it doesn't work very well because I was wearing them listening to a podcast while I was cooking dinner, and my wife started talking to me. I'm like, what? I couldn't hear. But I do like them though. They're pretty nice. They're comfortable, you know. My only fear with this style though is that one of them, like, I'll go to take a leak and then one of them will fall out and plop into the toilet. But and they weren't expensive. I got them at Sam's Club for like about $80. So not too bad. May pick up a backup here later.
You're gonna make it.
I think so. Still raining out here.
It's raining here too, off and on. Not too hard.
Yeah, same here.
But from what I understand, we could use the rain. It's just gonna make me have to mow my lawn.
We've had too much rain.
We've not had a lot this year.
So it rained Friday when I was moving, and that sucked.
It kept you cool, though.
There is that. Yeah, it definitely is that.
You should be thankful. Thankful for that rain.
You know what I would absolutely love that would probably never happen in the tech world, and I think you guys would probably agree with me, is I wish they would start making a modern netbook. Like a netbook with like a Core i3 or a Core i5 in it. 10-inch screen.
They kind of do, and then again they kind of don't, but they're your tablet convertibles, and yes, you can get them 10-inch screen, and you can get them with i5s and i7s.
And you pay a pretty penny for them too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yep. I had my, now I remember the one Windows-based tablet that I had, and I got rid of. I think I like paid like $80 for it. It was dirt cheap. The Stream 7, I think it was. I can never get that thing to run anything but Windows anyway. I tried to boot Linux on it, and I just couldn't get it to work. It was nice, though. But glacially slow compared to anything else today.
On that IBM, that IBM that you were talking about, What is it about the stylus that doesn't work with Linux? Like, it's not just, does the touch screen work with Linux?
I think the touch screen did work. I'll have to boot up. I'll have to boot it up again, but.
Like with my Dell, it came with a stylus.
Okay.
Right.
Dell Latitude tablet, but, If I bring the stylus near the screen, then the touch screen quits working and nothing reacts. The touchpad still works, but the touch screen will not. And every time. But if I don't bring, you know, if I don't use the stylus at all, then the touch screen works just fine.
You see, I don't think this, I mean, in Windows, the stylus can emulate a mouse, but I don't think that's the case in Linux. I don't know what. Oh, and they both. It's interesting too. The stylus for this Lenovo also takes a quadruple A battery, just like my one on my Surface. Which is about the only way you're going to get those is if you go to Amazon and order them. I tried looking in like a Walmart,
car
couple
parts
other places.
Stores. Car parts.
Maybe,
stores.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Absolutely. Because they're the same style of batteries that go in some
remotes. Some remotes. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I found one for my stylus.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. I have three or four extras right now, but I think about like six of them for like $10. You know, they're not expensive, and Amazon doesn't take that long to get here. So. But, and then the other side, too, even if you could get it working on Linux, there's not many that let you use it like you can on Windows, like to write notes and stuff like that. Either by translating your handwriting or just accepting it as graphics. I remember, I think you can run this on pretty much any Linux, but when I had my Nokia N810 and the N800 and the N770s, there was an app called Zurnal, Zournal, and that would kind of let you take notes like you can in OneNote and other apps like that, with the just writing notes with handwriting if you wanted to. That I think is available on Linux, and I think that might work with the stylus if you can get it to work in Linux. But beyond that, you know, it's just not as full featured as the Surface. And I'll even say that too on the Lenovo stylus is much less useful on this Flex IdeaPad Flex 5 than the stylus is on my Surface. The Surface is just designed, it makes sense because Microsoft designed the whole thing, so including the OS. So
that's how you know it's quality.
Well, that's how you know everything's integrated properly.
Yeah, that's it. And it requires their drivers, and that's the only thing that works with it.
Of course.
Thank you.
But I have to try it on the Surface again just for the heck of it. But if I get another machine, what I may end up doing is I may take that big 17-inch Dell and get rid of it. Newer.
Then what?
Maybe I can send it to you, Dan.
There you go. The Surface. Did anybody ever buy it? Do they still make that Surface table?
What, the big-ass table? I thought that was only a demo.
Yeah, the big-ass table. Oh, it was only a demo. I thought like that they were trying to sell that to like bars and stuff.
I think the only place they ever had it for any length of time was like T-Mobile stores, if I remember right.
Well, who wants to go to a T-Mobile store to use something like that?
Who wants to go to a T-Mobile store? They suck.
Well, I mean,
use them.
I have T-Mobile, and honestly, they are the lowest price that I could ever get from any company ever because I get a veteran's discount, a very hefty one.
That's nice. But I wouldn't want to go play on a Surface Pro table at a T-Mobile store. I just don't see the excitement in it.
I agree.
I tried to move away from T-Mobile to Ting, but when I plugged in the numbers on Ting, and they're like, stay with what you have. It's cheaper. So I've been happy with T-Mobile for a long time now. They got my money. And they got Joe's, too. Who do you have, Joel? Cricket?
I'm on T-Mobile,
they
too.
They got me.
They got you again. Oh, Pat's got T-Mobile. Damn,
Pat's
who do you have?
Pat's got T-Mobile, too.
What do you have, Joel? Cricket?
Verizon.
Verizon.
I'd love it if my wife would let me switch to T-Mobile because I could probably get cheaper phones here and there.
Yeah.
By, like, Verizon.
Pat, you got a family plan going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we have, too. That's why they're like...
Same.
Yeah, you ain't getting away from that and getting a good, decent price elsewhere.
Pat's whole family's in his T-Mobile 5.
That's the way it goes.
Now, there is actually a deal going on now that if you do come to Verizon and activate a handset with 5G, they'll give you the handset for nothing. And you just bring your old handset with you from another carrier. I think that just happened like this week. And I'm still trying to figure out how Spectrum is a cell carrier now. I think they're an MVNO for somebody. I can't remember who. But basically, Spectrum...
Probably everybody. I mean, it's got to be pretty easy to make a deal with people that you're providing internet to.
Yeah. I think the whole deal is to have, like, anything that you use for internet all in the Spectrum's wheelhouse. I want to see if I can find out who they really are. Oh, they're Verizon.
Spectrum.
Yep, they're an MVNO for Verizon.
Look at that.
They had the Pixel 5 when I was in there today.
You going to get yourself one?
Nope.
Why not?
My Note 10's working great still.
What's a Pixel 5?
Isn't that what you got now?
No, I have a Pixel 4a.
Okay.
Pixel 5 was out of my price range. Most things are out of my price range, but that's just the way it goes.
You keep telling you keep inviting extra girls into the house when your daughters bring them over.
Well, that's where hopefully all my money goes.
Hopefully Lily doesn't do that to you.
No, there we go. But you got to do what you got to do. And
you're an upstanding man.
I know. I said to my wife today as they were going to watch Paige perform at some place, I said, there goes my money again. Because it went right out the door with him. I saw her hand over the card, and I'm like, there goes my money. What's my money? Put it back.
Did she get her degree?
Who? Paige. No, she didn't finish. She went on doing other things. She's talking about going back for biology or to finish her mathematics degree. I don't know.
Okay. What do you do with a mathematics degree now that I'm thinking about it? Teach?
No, you can do a lot of stuff with a mathematics degree. engineering, you know, all sorts of different things. You could do that if you wanted to. You could teach. You could do research. Business. It's a whole bunch of different things you could do with it.
I just got a email from LinkedIn. It says, job similar to IT manager for Amazon. And one of them was manager of Tata Consulting Service, Consultancy Services.
Who? Tata?
Yeah, I think the same company Joe works for.
I have worked for them previously. They are good folks.
Tata sounds like a...
It's Indian.
It is. Okay. I was going to say, it sounds almost like a strip club or something.
Right?
IT services for a strip club.
Nah. I did see one that interested me from OSU, but then I looked at the salary and I had to laugh.
Minimum wage?
No, not minimum wage, but half of what I make.
The trick is you got to go move to India.
Yeah. That's what
where they pay you a lot there. Less.
Yep. That's okay. Our third quarter, I have to work on another certification. I'm probably going to go for the architect for AWS.
They're going to search you right out of it into a new job, aren't they?
Probably.
Well, that's cool. They pay for all that, though, right?
Yeah. The only thing is I had to pay for it, like, when I registered for the test.
They reimburse you then is what ends up happening. If you pass.
Exactly.
If you don't pass, they're like, too bad.
That's right. It cost me $150. Because that's what the next one will be. The first one was 100, but the any other cert in the chain of AWS certs is 150 now.
Will they keep going up by $50?
No, the rest of them are 150 each.
Oh.
So I don't know if I want to be a manager anyway.
Why not?
Because I actually like working with the tech. I don't want to manage the tech. Oh, the manager machine learning for Upstart here in Columbus.
There you go.
AI
won't actually pay you, but once we start getting money coming in, you can have some of that.
Money, money, money. It makes the world go round.
Do it for the name recognition.
Yeah.
I'll stay where I am.
Money, money, money.
That's what my kids say. Give me the money. And I say...
They say, show me the money. And you're like, Dad's pockets are empty, man.
It's all over.
Say, hey, look up. Do you see the ceiling? Look down. Go. Do you see the carpet? Yeah. Yeah, that's where my money is.
Not in your pocket, right?
You know what my dad used to say? Wish in one hand and poop in the other, see which one gets fuller.
Which one got fuller for you?
You know which one. Because I had to work to get what I got.
Two Joels, one cup, right?
Well, you don't want two Joels, I can tell you that much.
Oh, man.
Hey! I get to sleep with a new BiPAP tonight. Woohoo!
A new
BiPAP?
That's
exciting. A new BiPAP machine for my sleeping.
Is it controlled by your phone?
I can review. It hooks into the My Air application through ResMed, so I can tell how much sleep I get and stuff like that. Yeah. I think it's highly inaccurate myself. although the like
pretty sure it says I'm getting a whole lot better sleep than I am.
Yeah, I know. I'll agree with you on that, Joe. I mean, like look at the last night statistics. What I got, it happens to be I got basically just the old one was the 10S, and the new one's the 10 Viato. It says I got six. It says my air score is 94 points out of 100. 6 hours, 24 minutes usage. 20 out of 20 on the mask seal, zero events per hour, one mask on and off. So basically, it says 94 out of 100 means I should have got pretty good sleep, which I'm kind of surprised it says that with me getting under 8, but it does. So, but I still had 2 cups of coffee this morning.
Is that your reward?
No, that's everybody else's who lives with me reward, because that's the only way Joel's going to be tolerable. Right, Joe?
Once again, I say those are rookie numbers.
Happy Joel.
Rookie you need to pump up those numbers. 2 cups of coffee? I mean, seriously?
Hey, I said 2 cups of coffee. You didn't say how big each cup was.
Uh-huh.
A Yeti was full, and that's blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to remember how big that one is.
Halfway full of milk.
Nope. 12 ounce. Let's see, 1 12-ounce. 16 ounces. Because I did a 12-ounce brew and a 4-ounce brew.
So 32 ounces of coffee.
Yeah.
Once again, I say those are rookie numbers. You need to pump up those numbers.
I do have a pot in here that I could get some regular coffee and make a whole pot, but nah.
And pound the whole pot, and while the next one is being made.
Just put a straw into the pot, right?
Well, no, you got to get this giant cup that holds exactly one pot.
There
with a little bit of space left, so you're not sloshing it everywhere. Yeah,
I gotta get a bubba keg.
I have this TARDIS mug, and it holds like a full pot of coffee. And I, if I want to, I can toss in a little bit of almond milk or maybe some sweetener, and then just chug it while the next one's brewing.
Yeah. Yeah. Love me coffee in the morning.
Coffee makes work tolerable.
Agreed. It makes me do the standing and the talking and the not growling thing.
Do the Watusi.
Pretty much.
Remember whose song was that, Joel? Do the Watusi.
Van Halen, maybe? No.
No. Try again. It is Do the Watusi, right? It was Howie Mandel.
Oh.
And then he went off and did that game show or whatever. Yeah, I don't know what he did.
Deal or No Deal.
Was that it?
That was the name of the game show. He also did the voice for Bobby and Bobby's World.
Yeah. Oh. He had his time.
He did.
Now actually, he's done.
I should catch up on Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
You know what? I saw a commercial for
the
Mighty
Ducks TV show.
It was good.
I saw a commercial for that, and I was like, it's good that Emilio Estevez is working again. You see him.
Wasn't he in politics for years, and that's why he wasn't acting or something like that?
I heard I thought he went into directing or something.
No, he's producing this TV show. Yeah.
He stopped doing a lot of acting and went on the other, like, producing or directing. Well, I didn't know if he was in politics or not.
I know his brother went.
I'd have to look it up.
Stephen Baldwin went nuts.
No, his brother is not Baldwin.
Yeah, his brother's not Baldwin.
He's in the Douglas family.
Is You're
his,
right.
Is his father Michael Douglas or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His brother's Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Sheens. He's yeah, Sheen.
Sheens.
Yes, Charlie
Not
Sheen.
Not Douglas. Wait. Yeah. Michael Sheen. Is it Michael Sheen, the father?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry.
And Charlie's the crazy one.
Correct. The one with the tiger blood.
Yeah.
And we're talking about bullshit.
Well, you know, Charlie Sheen, Mighty Ducks.
I did, during the show, finish making this Bluetooth adapter, but I
Nice!
I got to glue it together. I just took an old headset that I know will do pass-through and modified it to have a 3.5-millimeter output. Took off the speakers and everything, and now I got to sandwich these two pieces together and get them to stick together. So I'm looking for the duct tape so I can glue it and tape it and leave it that way overnight.
So if you see something that looks like a bomb that's hooked to Joe's stereo in his car, that's what it is.
Yeah, it would be really good for that. Consider, well, it does do pass-through, so yeah, it would be good for that. But I want it for the larger battery so that I can hook up some of the better headsets that I have to it when I'm wandering around, since I don't have a 3.5-millimeter jack on my phone.
Why not?
Because I have the Note 10 Plus. I could get an adapter, but I had this headset and it was unrepairable, but you know, all the electronics work, so.
Do you still have the original earbuds that came with yours?
I was never a fan of those. My wife liked them, so I gave them to her, but I think that they died.
Now, mine are still working. I use them every night. And I also found out that that's the only thing I can really get to work with is my phone. It doesn't work on my iPad.
Yeah, and buying second-party ones, the adapters and everything, it's a little bit hit or miss because they'll say they work with the Note 10 Plus, and then you find out that they don't have the built-in DAC that's required, and then you hook them up and nothing happens.
The Google one seems to work on my phone fine, and it works on my iPad as well. I have a pair of cheapo wired, I think the inked earbuds from Skullcandy hooked up to the last Google one I bought, and it works.
For low-cost stuff, a lot of the Skullcandy ones aren't terrible. Some of them, not so much, but a lot of them, at least they sound decent.
I will say this. One thing is kind of annoying with some of the... the interesting thing with the Evo Sesh is once I get the warranty swapped out on it, is that they work with Tile. You can use Tile to find the earbuds. Kind of similar to how Apple does it. I think Apple does it with the AirPods now and the little AirTags. But it's not useless to me if I can't get the right bud to work. It works for like 10 minutes, and then it dies because the battery's dead.
So yeah, it does need a new battery, but yeah, it's not an easy thing to do on those tiny motherfuckers.
And that was brand new out of the box, though. So I just gotta put out the thing, and send it to them, and they'll work on it or send me a new set, one of the two.
Under the warranty?
Yeah. If I kept all the wrappings, I would have took it back to Best Buy and just had them give me a new set there. But I threw them away. I do have all the parts, though, so I have the buds, the bud case. A charge cable. I don't know why I'm yawning. Jeez.
Bedtime.
Almost.
You got that 94% sleep last night, so now it's time right. to get to 96.
Now, I was looking for light bulbs for the house.
Connect to your Nest.
To my Z-Wave. Well, see, that's the thing I'm wondering is if the house, if the panel that comes with the house also can be the Z-Wave hub as well. Because both that the panel and the thermostat work with Z-Wave.
Right.
So Singled, S-E-N-G-L-E-D, has a six-pack of them for $33. And these are just the ones that are just white. They do have the multicolored ones. But they're like 55 for three. I might buy those ones for like my office and then get the white ones everywhere else. Because then I can make my office into the red light zone.
The office in the red light district.
Yeah, just like I was in the Netherlands, right?
Get the hot action going on.
It's not just the Netherlands.
Truth.
Columbus, Ohio. Joel's Red Light District.
Grove City.
What are you growing?
No, Grove City. That's the city I live in.
Oh, I thought you said Grove City. I was going to say, what are you growing there, Joel?
I can grow anything I want, I think, nowadays. Ohio is medical marijuana.
And it's legal there now, right? No, it's not. Not yet.
No, it's close.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, it's about time to wrap this up.
Oh, and if you guys haven't...
We got you again?
You should. It's a great show.
What did you say? You cut out.
Retro Hackdack on YouTube from our good friend Aaron Newcomb.
Retro what?
Hack Shack.
Oh, Hack Shack. Hack Shack?
Yes, Hack Shack. H-A-C-K.
Hmm.
Did a video on reforming a IBM clone, like an 8088 clone.
How old is that?
That's what, 40 years now at least?
What are you going to do with that?
Retro games, man. DOS games.
I don't know, that's a lot of work. Ay, ay, ay.
Play games like Space... King's Quest. Play all those games. He also had one on how to hook up retro computers to HDMI.
What do you got to do for that? Watch the video, right? How much is an adapter for
crap
that?
A ton of adapters.
No, it wasn't a crap ton. He's got like a let's see, three videos ago was HDMI for the Commodore 64 or add HDMI to your vintage computers. He also has one part one of a two, probably at least two part series on the history of the Atari 7800.
God, the Atari, I remember that.
Oh, that was to me, that is the best. If you want to play 2600 games, don't buy an old 2600, buy a 7800, because then you can at least play the 7800 games too. Like, my favorite game on the 7800 at the time was Food Fight.
Food Fight.
Yep. It's a great game.
What does that look like? 25-minute long play.
It was 7800 specific. We also had Ball Blazer, which was a port from the 8-bit computers.
Food Fight. Okay, I see this. It reminds me of Burger Time, but it's not.
No, Burger Time was more like reminding me of like Donkey Kong, but you had to walk across the different burger parts to get them to fall.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do on Food Fight? You're supposed to go gobble up all
just
the
chuck
them
food.
Fruit? Okay, so you can pick up bananas and other things, and you throw them at the chefs, and then you run over to the corner and gobble up the food, and the less... So there's an ice cream cone in the corner, and you can pick up pies and bananas and other things, and the more that you... The less that you pick up to throw, the more points you get when you gobble that ice cream cone.
Yep.
How long? How many levels are in this game? I guess it just keeps going forever, doesn't it?
Well, a lot of games were back at the time.
Yeah. I don't even know what the heck these are half the time. Looks like a half a pizza. Looks like he's throwing shit. A turd. big. Doesn't look hard.
No, it's not that hard. It's fun though.
Let me see. Let me see what he's got on the upper levels. Come on, let's go. It doesn't look like it's getting any harder. Do they move fast? I guess they move a little faster.
Yep.
Oh, they come out of the holes.
Mm-hmm.
He's on level 107. How high does he get? He's level 125. Looks like where this ends. Oh, and then he died. That's it.
125. Yep.
Oh my God. We just talk about it and I look up WSO2, right?
There it is.
And now all I get is ads for one login and... WSO2. Oh God!
How many games were there? Was North America only had 57 specific Atari 7800 games?
That's not a lot.
No, you could probably get a fairly complete collection pretty cheaply, is my guess. They had Xevious, Xenophobe. Wait a minute. Oh, I never knew they had this on the 7800 Xenophobe. Remember that game? It was in the arcade.
No. Wait. Xenophobe?
Yeah, Xenophobe.
Is that the,
You get the three. You got, The arcade machine had three joysticks, and you had, Your player was on one level, and you're person next.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah. I loved that game in the 80s. That was one of my favorite arcade games back then. But they don't have freaking, Zybots. Remember Zybots? That was a good game, dude. That was on the link, so.
Oh. Hey, Joe. Joe? Did Joe leave? Where the hell did Joe go?
He's not talking.
Zybot?
Yeah, XYBOT. It's kind of a 3D shooter when you had these robots chasing after you.
I'm looking at the image.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't remember seeing that in the arcade. Oh, no, I remember seeing it. I don't think I ever played it.
Yeah, it might be one of those. Yeah, there's a lot of those kind of games.
Because that counts. The arcade console is cabinet is like way different than just about anything else. Now that I see that, but I don't recall ever playing it.
I always like to find those cabinets that I would play games that had cool cabinets just because I like the look of them. Like I'm trying to remember one that was real obvious that you might remember, like Return of the Jedi had a really neat looking cabinet back in the day.
Yeah. You know what?
It was an Atari game. Not Tempest, shoot.
1987 this game came out. So I'm thinking this was probably like that was like getting to the turning point I remember where games were. What year did Dragon's Lair come out? Dragon's Lair was 1983, so this was 4 years later. That was getting close, and 87 was getting close to when all the arcades around started moving towards those 50-cent games, a lot of them. And then they started getting like a lot of the fighting games and the 50-cent games,
yeah.
And, you know, group racing games, and then throwing
Mortal
in the
Kombat.
The ticket games and stuff like that. And then I stopped going to the arcades.
Yep.
You didn't have those like simple arcade games. You just pop a quarter in like mm-hmm. Tempest kind of thing. And then
or
they
like
just started
Marble
disappearing.
Marble Madness.
Yeah, Marble Madness.
I love that game.
Zaxxon and.
Yep.
I guess we gotta wrap
Tron.
This up. Yeah, Tron. Deadly Discs of Tron.
Yep. Alright. Let's wrap her up.
What happened to Joe?
Joe's still here.
Question
He's
for you, Joe.
He's just testing audio.
I don't know. His Wi-Fi keeps dropping me here.
Joe, you've read The Martian, right?
Several times.
Have you gotten the new one? Hail Mary?
No, but I know the guy had another book. I didn't know that he wrote another one like in a series with that, because I read Artemis, which is by the same author.
Oh, no, it's not. I don't think it's not like The Martian. It's just his newest book, I believe, that just came out.
No, I read his second book. If he's got a third book out, I'll have to go look for it. I'll find it. He said it was called Hail Mary.
Yeah, Project Hail Mary.
What's it about?
It sounds just like The Martian. Ryland Grace is a sole survivor on a desperate last chance mission, and if he fails, humanity and Earth itself will perish. I just read a loose review of it. I didn't read a lot that it has to do with encountering an alien species and trying to learn how to communicate with them. And it sounded pretty interesting.
Sounds like that episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Well, we shall see. I have the book. I actually bought the hardcover book. Wait, what else is he read? I didn't read Artemis. Is Artemis good?
I enjoyed it. It's about a colony on the moon, and it was pretty good.
I'll have to check it out. After I read this, I'll have to check. When?
Well, yeah, I keep getting kicked off, so we'll see you guys later.
All right. When did Artemis come out?
I don't know. More than a year ago.
Yes. Oh, all right. So, let's wrap this up. I'm going to play us out, Joe.
Okay, good night. I'm going to drop off and do some audio testing.
All right, have a good one. Here it is, your promos.
Oh my god, it's Hacker
Public Radio!
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yep. All right. That was it. Yeah, here we go. I was using my laptop, which makes sense why it would sound terrible.
And I hope I'm not sounding too terrible. I'm actually outside.
Wow. Goldfish. The snack that bites you back, right?
All depends.
Whoa, what would I do without SSH?
I don't know.
Run around a whole lot more.
Rich, can you just go suck it?
Yeah.
It's still valid today.
Let's see what we're going to do this week. All right. Give me 1 second.
Doing? Oh, here she comes.
What? Right, all
right. Mm-hmm.
What show number is this?
3.
This is 2. Episode 909. Ooh, isn't that chair squeaking? All right, you ready, Joel?
Sure.
Ready to spank it? And pank it?